This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Patriots come hard. He fires to the right. It is picked up at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, and all the way down to the 30-yard line. Vincent Wilfork.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again. Back-to-back. Three out of four. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots are in Cincy to take on the Bengals.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Mark, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Week number 5, Patriots are in Cincinnati. Welcome, everybody, to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Get involved at 855-PATS-500. Send us emails this morning, webradio@patriots.com. And if you're on Twitter, make sure you use the hashtag PPGS. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, coming to you live from Gillette Stadium, the Subway Fresh broadcast studios. Patriots 4-0, Bengals 2-2, and Rob Gronkowski will not play in today's game. However, Danny Amendola might. He might play.
On the Mendola.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's not mine. It's Fred Kirsch's.
Oh, it's a good one, though. That's
horrific.
That's almost as good as Amendola. It's almost as good.
Maybe our cover will be on the Mendola.
And as Paul just said off the air prior to coming on, nothing is good for a groin like wet turf and going out and playing on that. Do you think Amendola's going to play today? What do you think?
Yeah.
What's your gut tell you?
Sounds like it.
I don't know if it'll be a good thing.
Is it Will Carroll that said unless something were to happen in the pregame?
Yeah. You know, a lot can happen.
Which I wouldn't rule out. You never know what could happen in the pregame.
But it looks like they're going to give it a go anyway.
I mean, what's he going to do, tear it from the bone?
Been there, done that. All right, can you, you know, spend like 30 seconds being serious?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a serious comment. And I'm not one to stick up for Andy, ever. So.
What's he going to do, tear it off the bone? I mean,
right.
Just so you know, I'd be much more excited if Rob Gronkowski was playing.
I would be a lot more excited.
I mean, Julian Edelman's been fine. Okay, Danny Amendola, you got another guy you can count on, maybe, assuming he's healthy, although Mike Giardi is reporting that they're likely going to monitor his snaps, and it won't be Mike Giardi.
No, is going to monitor whose snaps?
Amendola.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
His snaps in the game?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought we were...
Jesus Christ, I got to tell you the same.
I knew they were in the game.
I don't know what we're talking about. I didn't know
Barry. Well, we were talking about several different guys.
You know what? I totally misunderstood what you just said.
I
thought
too.
You were saying someone in the media was going to be monitoring him, like to keep track of what he was doing. Sorry, you mean the team is going to be monitoring him during the course of the game? So, that's
won't
my
be
fault.
Like a full
I'm an idiot.
Kind of day. I agree.
Sorry,
but it just—I mean—it doesn't really get me going. Doesn't really.
What about this receiver group on the whole? Because seems like there's a lot of injuries there.
Yes.
Tompkins listed as questionable. Aaron Dobson listed as questionable. Should we be concerned that the Patriots will have a problem throwing the football? And oh, by the way, they cut Zach Sudfeld. I don't know how they're going to make do without Zach Sudfeld.
The next great but they did add Austin Colley.
They did.
So they're ready.
Now, if all of those receivers play, we talked about this during the week on PFW in Progress. If all of them play, which it certainly seems in our buddy Mike Giardi is citing a source that indicates that both Dobson and Tompkins are going to be able to go along with Amendola. Does Colley even suit up?
Well, it depends, I think, how they feel about the other guys. If they're playing and they're fine, you know, you're not concerned that they're going to be out of the game, you know, second series, then no, I don't think, because he's limited. What he's going to bring to the table physically and mentally is going to be limited. So unless it's a dire situation where you're really worried about Tompkins' shoulder or Dobson's neck, whatever, I don't think he would be. I wouldn't want him active. If he steps on the field to me for the offense, that's a bad sign. That's not good.
What do you think about that signing in general? Do you think there is a long-term plan there, or is it just you needed a body this week and he could be gone by next week? Because it feels more like the latter to me.
Well, I kind of feel a little bit of both. I wouldn't be surprised if he was gone today, tomorrow, or the next day, because he has a long injury history over the last couple years and has been on, you know, he had a chance with the Niners and they didn't want him. So I don't know what he is.
A team that needed receivers.
A team that needs receivers, yeah.
But the other aspect is they've shown a little interest for a while now. So maybe there is some long-term desire to have him part of this offense.
Yeah, I mean, I know it sounds wishy-washy, but I agree with Andy. I think it might be a little bit of both. I think if he were to be gone within, say, a week or two, it would be because they just don't think there's anything there. I think that they look at him as potentially part of the, you know, part of the solution, and also a guy who is right now providing insurance. But if he were to be gone quickly, that means I think they brought him in. So, you know what, this, the skill set's not where we needed it to be. He's not going to be, by the time he gets mentally to where we need him to be, it's going to be too, you know, and something like that. I don't think it'll be a situation where that, you know, if he were to go, they're just like completely happy with everything else. They just, they would be not really thinking he can help if they let him go.
Now on the other side of the ball, Vince Wilfork, done for the year with his Achilles injury, which happened last weekend in Atlanta. How do you feel about the Patriots' ability to fill in for Vince Wilfork?
I think it's pretty good, and I think Bill must feel like it's pretty good because, you know, we didn't get the assumed Marcus Forston promotion that I think everybody, probably even Marcus Forston, thought was coming.
Did AJ Francis was upset about that? That everybody was just saying, Forston. Well, like, hey, I'm a defensive tackle.
So. Yeah, but Forston's got a longer track record here, and I think that kind of, everybody assumed that put him ahead in that pairing. But, I mean, Bill must be happy with the three guys, Jones, Meatball, and Tommy Kelly. I don't think it's dire. I mean, I
don't either.
But my feelings on that go back to when I wouldn't have signed Vince Wilfork and would have put all that money into Julius Peppers. I just don't, you know, target the defensive tackle position as a marquee $10 million a year type position.
Well, the league is changing, and that position is probably becoming a lot less important now than it was, I don't know, 10 years ago.
But you know me, I can be reactionary. If Benny goes for $1.80 today, I'll be saying, whoa, it looks like that Wilfork injury hurt him.
And I know that people will do that. I think that would be unfortunate.
But need a good nose tackle these days.
Apparently Meatball wasn't quite ready.
Well, I suppose you're right, too, because I don't, you know, Tommy Kelly, I think, has played really, really well inside, but I'm not sure that he is the same type of guy as Vince that would be able to handle those double teams and that point, you know, the way that Vince does. And I think Vince does do a good job of taking some pressure off the other guys that you don't necessarily notice. I certainly don't notice because I'm not watching that interior chain reaction that maybe some other people are. But I kind of agree. I just don't think that there's a lot of teams in football nowadays that line it up and say, here we come with our fullback and our two tight ends. We're just going to run it between the tackles. We're going to run it right at this guy, Joe Villano, who we don't know, and Chris Jones, who we don't know, and we're going to try to make our hay that way. I think this particular game may be one of those where Cincinnati might try to do it, especially if, and I know it's raining. I don't know how bad the weather is in Cincinnati, if it's going to hurt the passing game, if there's wind to go along with it.
Well, the pictures of the rain are really coming out great.
Yeah.
Being posted all over Twitter by those covering the game.
I haven't seen, and I haven't.
It's hard to take a picture of the rain. I'm not sure if you know that.
I haven't seen a lot of these tweets recently, but I don't know. Is anybody mentioning, is it windy? Because I don't care if it's raining.
I have not seen any
rain. Doesn't do anything to the passing game. Wind does. So I'm just wondering if maybe there's you know, a potential to, you know, for Cincinnati to sit there and say, we have the weather and we have no Vince Wilfork. Let's line it up. And as Andy said, let's see if we can get Benny on track. He hasn't done a thing all year. He's averaged less than 3 yards a carry.
Just looking at the forecast here, it looks like it's going to continue to rain. So
oh, yeah.
That part of it is going to happen throughout
the
afternoon. It's going to be a wet game. We'll have to work on finding out some reports on the wind as well.
Eric will give it to us. He'll stick his finger in the air.
Yep. This will be one of those days that he actually gets to talk about the weather, and it's semi-relevant.
So we'll get an update on that. With Wilfork being out, you know what it means. A lot of Joe Villano. A lot of
Meatball.
Joe Villano.
Meatball.
Joey Meatball.
Well, I actually
big PFW favorite, you know.
If he is going to be, you know, if the hope would be that he's the guy that plays the nose, that gets doubled, and that a lot, because you're right, Tommy Kelly's a little taller. He's more of a penetrator, I think, pass rusher, does some things in the backfield. You like the word penetration, do you? I just got a look from our host here. Hope that Meatball can be the guy that sort of takes those double teams, but he needs to prove he's worthy of a double team.
What is
you can't just assume
right.
it.
Yeah, what does this mean for Brandon Spikes, who last week played six snaps?
I don't know, but he's tweeting.
Game.
He's excited. He woke up, rise and grind, pow, pow.
Don't you
I really think he's become
he's
a situational player.
Yeah, but is he going to be more? He's going to be more involved this week. Is
I would guess you'll see a lot more base defense with two tight ends and the potential to run the ball.
And I think that might be a schematic kind of thing that they do. Andy and I talked about this also this week. maybe you design it up a little bit differently in terms of your run stopping. This is not only a team that will try to run the ball, but now you're without Vince, so I think you might have to have spikes out there anyway.
One more injury thing that we forgot to mention on the offensive side of things. No Stephen Ridley this week, and nope. It seems like it's, I don't know, been kind of overlooked. It hasn't been talked about too much. Are you concerned at all about that?
Nope.
No, because they've been using a committee. And as long as they have a couple of healthy guys. Now, where I would be a little concerned is Bolden's injury passed, and he's still on the injury report with a knee, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
And he's listed as questionable. Andy talked about the wide receivers with Austin Colley. If you were confident that the wide receivers could go, well, you know, if Bolden's out there and you say, well, we got Bolden and Blunt and we could sort of mix and match that way, and all of a sudden it's the middle of the first quarter and Bolden's not available for the rest of the game, I'm not sure I love the idea of having Blunt be my every down back for a whole game. I don't like him in blitz pickup. I don't like him out of the backfield catching the ball. So that would be something to keep an eye on. But with the way they've been doing it, they've sort of gone back to the way they did it, say, in 08, 09, 2010-ish there when they had the committee approach. Last year, it was pretty much all Ridley. This year, it's been a mix of all three of those guys.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is where you can send your emails in this morning. If you're on Twitter, you're getting ready for the game, Pats and Bengals, make sure you use the hashtag PPGS. We'll be reading your tweets and your emails this morning. And also,
show us your wet
calls.
Tweets.
Yeah, wet tweets.
Yes.
In
if
the
you're
rain.
Tailgating
tweets.
In Cincinnati out there, send in some photos.
Sorry, I cut you off.
We already got one from Joe Reuter, who showing us how to keep his feet wet. It's the key to the day, dry feet. He's got plastic bags wrapped around
dry,
his feet.
Keep him dry, not keep him wet.
Yeah, well, yeah, keep him wet. Sorry, you don't want him, wet.
Keep him dry, right. We get it.
You know.
Yeah.
Got to prep properly.
I hear what you're saying. By the way,
it's pretty warm, though, so even if you get wet on a day like today. I mean, it's not exactly the most pleasant
wrinkled
experience.
Wrinkled toes, though, when you're sitting there.
It's not the most pleasant of experiences.
You don't need that. You don't want that.
But you're not cold. You don't want to be cold and wet.
That's probably the worst combination.
That's Les Miserables. You don't want that.
NFL.com's Ian Rappaport has been told by a source that Amendola is good to go today against the Bengals. Good to go.
So he's just following up on the report from, what's that guy's name, the injury expert, Paul?
Will Carroll.
Will Carroll. Formerly of Sports
and everybody else's reports. But, you know, in other words, it's a typical Ian Rappaport report.
Right. But
day late and a dollar short.
I love the passive-aggressive.
Actually, nothing passive
not so
about that, my
actually,
friend.
Not so passive there.
Nothing passive-aggressive about my shots at the crap sheet.
Not just the crap sheet, but all of the various media members that cover the Patriots and the NFL.
Now, some of those are passive-aggressive.
Some of them
not,
are.
Not to the
most
crap
of them
sheet.
Are not. Let's get to the phones, though.
Haven't had any game pants tweets yet. Those would be passive-aggressive.
Hashtag game pants. Let's get to the phones at 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500, and James in Australia is first up today on the program. Hi, James.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good day, Mike.
How's things on the coast?
Good with that, Andy. Well done.
I think I am improving, actually. Much better than my Brazilian.
Yes, we don't want to see you with the Brazilian, Andy. I have a couple of questions for you today. The first one is about Will Falk's injury. I'm actually a little bit concerned about how an Achilles injury is going to affect a guy of his size. I don't think it's really going to come back the way that most people would. Paul, what was it like for you?
Speaking of fat guys coming back from Achilles injury.
Speaking of passive-aggressive, it's a tough injury, and I think definitely at his age and size, I think that will play into it. But, look, these guys have access to a whole different level of rehab than, you know, average Joes like me do. So, he's a pretty good athlete. Especially for a guy of his size, I expect him to rebound from it. It's probably going to be 6 months before he can really do stuff. But I wouldn't look at him next year as being done. I think some of those reports are premature.
Yeah, I kind of think what you guys said during the week on PFW, he'll be back, but probably at a lower cap number is what we'll see from him.
That would be the hope, I'm sure, for the team.
And that may have been the case anyway, even if he had remained healthy. Going to the last year of a deal, a big money deal, that's kind of standard operating procedure for NFL teams. You know, that veteran whose backloaded deal comes due when they do something, they give him a little extension.
But you're a little more hesitant, I would think, to do an extension based on the fact that you don't know what he is now and or 2 years from now. So I think that's something that's off-season. That's not a today issue, but that bears watching is his money and his recovery and if they can fix that cap number.
But I do not think his days in the NFL are over, James.
No, definitely not. But just have to wait and see if he's Will Fork or just another Jag, I suppose. My other question, I'll take the answer to this off air so you can keep things going. Assuming that Aqib Talib is able to handle AJ Green, if you're the defensive coordinator, are you more worried about the rest of the Cincinnati receivers or their tight ends?
Tight ends are a major concern. I mean, they have two guys that can catch the ball, make plays in the middle of the field. I think it's like 30 catches combined between the two of them, 18 and 12 through four games. And that's, we've seen that be a problem for the Patriots over the years. We saw it last week, maybe by design, be a problem with Tony Gonzalez. If you take away AJ Green, to me, the next issue is Gresham and Eifert, because, you know, we don't know what the middle of this pass defense really is. We've been excited about the edges more than the middle. And if Brandon Spikes is on the field, you know, there's been holes in this middle of this pass defense for years.
I think that part of it is sort of been undersold this week, is if you're going to have Spikes be out there a little bit more often and you have these two sort of dangerous tight ends, you know, there's a reason that Spikes hasn't played a lot, because they haven't spent much time in their base defense. This is it. So I think Spikes is a guy that can be sort of exploited in pass defense, and he might be out there more often in situations where the Bengals want to throw.
Well, when it comes to linebackers and coverage, I don't know how you guys feel, but I feel like last week Dante Hightower had a rough go of it.
He struggled.
Against Atlanta. He struggled. He had a lot of tackles because he was tackling the guy that he was covering,
yeah,
who would then catch the ball and he would tackle him.
Yeah, not a great matchup for him.
Rodgers. Yeah, that's a tough matchup for any linebacker, but, you know, he's a bigger linebacker too. That's a tough one. But I agree with you. He didn't cover well.
Thanks, James, for checking in with us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Jeff is in Vegas, and he's up next. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, guys.
What's
How
going
are
on?
You?
We're doing well.
Not too much. You know, I don't really have a great feel for this game one way or another. I think these Patriots injuries are really mounting. At the same time, I don't see a Marvin Lewis, Andy Dalton team really beating the Patriots.
I hear you, brother. Sounds like you've been reading the six-pack. That was point six. I'll take Belichick Brady over Dalton and Marvin Lewis in his career 81 and 82 record any day.
And that's how I feel, too.
Yeah. Then again, I mean, how's Cincinnati's pass rush? I mean, are they going to be able to pressure Brady in the lane?
That is the question for the Cincinnati Bengals. They have not lived up to the hype so far. Michael Johnson has a concussion. Be interesting to see if he goes. I don't believe he's out, right, Paul?
He's not questionable. Unless they have upgraded that, but he's questionable according to Friday.
They were a little disappointed in Geno Atkins, the All-Pro, who had 12.5 sacks last year through the first 3 weeks. He came on last week with a couple sacks. He, to me, could be the key. If he is disruptive, I think that has a trickle-down effect to the rest of that defense. Carlos Dunlap, whoever's playing, either it's Johnson or somebody filling in. To me, that's an interesting matchup in the middle of the field because, you know, I'm always scared to death of Ryan Wendell. I think he's okay as centers go, but I think he can be dominated at times. I think Dan Conley can be dominated at times. And if Geno Atkins gets going in the middle of the field, we often see that leads to a long day for Tom Brady, not just on the pressures. Then he starts to anticipate the pressures. Then all of a sudden he's he's ducking, head cut off. You know how it all goes downhill quickly. So to me, Geno Atkins could be the key to the game for the I didn't say that. I'll say that later.
Save that.
Sorry. No, you didn't hear that.
All right, guys, as far as the numbers go, it's point spread's been steady. Opened Cincinnati minus 1.5. Now it's down to minus 1. Bengals by 1. Total 46. I think I'm just going to go straight to it, guys. The Jeff and Vegas Smart Money Play of the Week.
Heavens to Betsy!
Yeah, guys, we're just going to take this. I think the team that just comes out and plays better is going to win. I'm going to take New England. I'm going to take the point in the Patriots, maybe lean under the 46, and just hope that the Bengals aren't real sharp. I'm a little bit worried about the New England running backs. I mean, what if Bolden goes down? Is Lan Washington around anywhere?
He's questionable as well. We'll see.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're going to be real, real thin at running back, and hopefully Brady, with Amendola coming back, can take advantage of the banged-up Bengals secondary. Take the Patriots this week. Lock it in.
All right, it's locked in, Jeff.
He didn't make me feel real good about that pick, did he?
No, he didn't. And last week, Jeff had, what did he have last week? He picked the Falcons last week. Remember that? He said, I'm taking the Falcons, and I hope I lose. And then he called after the game and said, I'm glad I lost. But that analysis of whoever plays the best game will win, that's some deep stuff right there. I like his pick, though. I'd take the Pats and the under in this one.
Yeah, it worked for the Red Sox and the Rays over the weekend. You know, the Red Sox actually brought gloves into the field for the nine innings they had to play the field, and Tampa didn't.
They didn't leave
so therefore, they played better.
Yeah, they also didn't leave their brain in the dugout, Will Myers.
I have never seen anything like the Friday game. Defense that the fourth inning, the 5-run inning.
Yeah,
I've never seen anything like that in a major league game in my life.
Will Myers.
There was literally five different plays that a little league team could have made that the Rays didn't make any of.
This is our 30-second Red Sox talk break.
Yes,
Will Myers, as a professional athlete, will never live down that.
Hey,
moment
is that Fat Tony?
Until
big ups, Fat Tony. Yo, what's up? Where's the sausage and peppers? No, oh, he's awesome. Fat Tony is awesome.
I have not met Fat Tony yet, but I'm about to.
Yes.
I'm about to meet him in a minute.
Yes.
So then I will know what's going on out there. Sausage and peppers is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. But Will Myers is not going to live that down until he becomes a great player.
Yeah. And
he will be remembered for that over anything else.
And I think we have about 8 seconds left in our 30-second Red Sox talk.
Yeah.
The way he handled himself after the game tells me that he is going to be a great
yes.
player.
He handled it very well after the game. And that's the Red Sox 30-second break today.
Sox up 2-0, in case anybody outside the market does not know.
No game today, so we're focusing on the Patriots game today. 855-PATS-500, and you can send in your emails, webradio@patriots.com. Jackson is up next on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Hi, Jackson.
Hi. I have two questions for you guys.
Sure, what do you got?
One, I was wondering, why did the Patriots have to cut Dak Sudfeld? Because, like, he made a great touchdown catch from, I think it was, like, Matt
Mallett. Yep.
Yeah, Ryan Mallett.
Yep.
Against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that was a great touchdown. And I just think that, like, if the Patriots had kept Sudfeld a bit longer, they might, like, if when Gronk had came back, if he does, it would be cool if, like, Zach Sudfeld and Gronk played together. They might make a really good tight end threat. And then my second question is, since the Patriots played with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis for a while,
yep.
I think they might have a little bit of an advantage against the Cincinnati Bengals run game. They had him on their offense for a while.
Yeah, Jackson, I think they are. I'll tackle your second one first. I think they will have some familiarity. Obviously, they know what Green Ellis can do and the style of runner he is. I'm not necessarily overly concerned about him today, and I do think it'll help having that that experience with him. On your first question on Sudfeld, it's a really good question, actually, because it didn't really seem like a transaction that necessarily had to be made. I'm not sure exactly why, if Gronkowski wasn't coming back, why the pressing need to get rid of Sudfeld when they did on Thursday. And even if you wanted to cut him with the intention of bringing him back to the practice squad, you would have thought they would wait a day to try to muck up the water a little bit more and get that waiver through. And unfortunately, they weren't able to do it. The Jets picked him up. So I'm not exactly sure why. They didn't sign a defensive lineman. They don't have Gronkowski coming back. I'm not sure why Sudfeld was expendable when he was. I'm sure that Bill Belichick won't tell
us
why, and we'll never know the answer to that question. But I'm not as high on Sudfeld as some other people are, but I did think that there was some athleticism there worth further development. And one thing I can tell you, just maybe to cut off the questions that we might get, it had nothing to do with the onside kick play that he was involved in last week. He made a physical mistake. He didn't recover the onside kick, and that these things happen. But he didn't get cut because of that. There's a lot more things that go into it. Unfortunately, I don't really know what they are.
Well, he didn't really produce much.
He didn't do anything. In the month that he was here,
offense.
He didn't do anything.
They didn't target him very often, and when they did, it was bad.
Generally a disaster.
It was really bad. If you remember the play in which he tried to catch the ball and it led to an interception, it was an ugly play, and he just didn't really do much after the preseason. And, Paul, there's a big difference between playing in preseason games
huge.
And shining when you have Ryan Mallett on the field and second and third string players as opposed to in the regular season being able to perform, and it just didn't happen for him. I'm not as high on him either as a lot of people were.
Well, I just don't see a guy that even in the preseason when he was making plays, was very tightly covered for the most part. I didn't see him gaining a lot of separation. A lot of people had him in that move tight end role. Oh, this is a guy that can be like Hernandez, and they can move him around. He's very athletic. I didn't see that. I saw great hands in practices and in preseason. I thought he showed a lot of potential in that regard. But I didn't see a guy who necessarily got open a lot and created separation, and he's certainly not first thing. And I had a long talk with him in training camp, and he, you ask the generic kind of things, what guys feel like they need to work on. He talked to me for 10 minutes about his blocking and how much of a problem that was and how he was really trying to get up to speed with blocking. So if you're a guy who's not getting open and not quite ready to make plays in the passing game as a receiver, and you're not necessarily known as a blocker, those are the reasons why he's probably not a Patriot anymore.
So there's a lot of different contributing factors. And the fact that the day that he was let go plays into it in terms of, well, don't you think they would have waited a day to try and get him back to the practice squad?
Like, they made moves on Saturday.
That move kind of tell you that they were not concerned about getting him back on the practice squad?
Yes.
And that they were just done with the player?
I think that they probably would have re-signed him to the practice squad, but I don't think it was necessarily something they felt like, well, we need to get this guy back on the practice squad at all costs. Because you can lose him off the practice squad, too. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah, no, another team can come along and say they want him and sign him. But
so if they really were hell-bent on keeping him, they wouldn't have cut him.
And the part about Gronkowski not playing this weekend and not being in this game doesn't signal that that was the reason why either. It just seems like they were not as impressed with the player as a lot of people thought they may have been. It just seems like they are A-okay with moving on from Zach Sudfeld, which the Patriots did this week. Patriots getting ready to take on the Bengals this afternoon in Cincinnati. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number if you'd like to get involved here. Check in on the phone lines. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Use the hashtag PPGS when you are tweeting, and we'll get to some of your tweets as well throughout the course of the program. Here's a question from Nick in Georgia. He says, what chance does Collie have to play today? Being signed late in the week leads me to think he'd be inactive.
If I had to guess, and that's one of my favorite games,
guess the inactives game.
I'm going to guess that he will be one of the seven inactives.
Here's another one. Mike in South Dakota writes in on email, webradio@patriots.com. Even if Joe Villano steps up, how can the team make up for the loss of Wilfork taking double coverage? Will we need to blitz more with linebackers? Will Chandler Jones' effect be limited due to taking on more double teams?
I don't think that Chandler Jones is going to get any more or less double teams in terms of his pass rush than he ever was. Because Vince, to me, was a guy that if you were running between the tackles, you had to make sure you had Vince accounted for. And that's not, you know what I'm saying, that's not necessarily going to correlate to Chandler Jones in the pass rush. But I do think that the emailer's point is valid in terms of the amount of pressure that Vince takes off the rest of the guys. And that does spread out to Chandler Jones in general. I'm just not necessarily meaning in terms of his ability to get to the quarterback. These are all very legitimate questions. The emailer is right on. I think the bigger loss for Wilfork is off the field, because I think that he was a glue guy. I think he was a great leader. I think he kept the poop together when it was like a time like last week, for example. I think, you know, the defense was really sort of in disarray in the last 5 minutes of that game. Now, I'm not saying it was in disarray because Vince wasn't there, because there's a good chance that in that situation, Vince might not have been on the field anyway if he were healthy down the stretch of a game where you have a 2 and 3 score lead. But he's the kind of guy, when things are going bad like that
he's going to settle guys
had
down.
The ability to, especially with those younger guys. And I think he's more vocal than a guy like Mayo and a guy like McCourty, who are the other leaders on defense. A guy like Rob Ninkovich is a guy that I think is underrated in that regard, too. I think they have good leaders. I think they have a good presence back there, but they will miss Vince off the field.
One more email along the lines of talking about Wilfork. It's Al in Italy. Al writes, I have two questions. Someone thinks that since Wilfork is done, it's time for Spikes to step up. I'm not that sure about it. I don't think Spikes is that good. Second question, if Don't Touch Me, I'm Made of Glass Amendola plays, who will go down in the wide receiver depth chart?
Interesting question. I'm going to say Dobson. I think Tompkins is established as the outside guy, whatever the X. I get them all confused. I have to check with Greg Bedard on those.
Okay.
That's passive aggressive.
Yeah,
just so
see
you know.
That is.
But I think Tompkins will stay as one of the outside guys. I think Amendola will get some snaps, both in the slot and as an outside guy, and I think he'll take Dobson's snaps away. And I think you're still going to see Edelman doing both of those things, working in the slot and working outside. You're just going to see Amendola and Edelman, I think, together the way you did in week one in Buffalo.
Keep your emails coming. Webradio@patriots.com. Use the hashtag PPGS and give us a call at 855-PATS-500. We go behind enemy lines. Coming up next, we'll talk with Jeff Hobson of Bengals.com. Don't go anywhere.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Files available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
It's time to go behind enemy lines and talk about the opponent. This week being the Cincinnati Bengals, and joining us from Cincinnati and from Bengals.com is Jeff Hobson. He joins us on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Bengals at 2-2 right now on the season. How do you feel about this team through the first 4 weeks?
Well, it's not what they expected, certainly offensively. When the coordinator comes out after the fourth game and says they're looking for their they're looking for their offensive identity. That can't be a good sign. They got a lot of weapons here, but they haven't been able to find a way to mesh them.
Jeff, is it as simple as Andy Dalton just hasn't played as well as you would expect a third-year quarterback to play?
A lot more to it than that. I mean, I thought he played pretty well the first three games. He had a real stinker in Cleveland, no question about it. That was something that kind of came out of nowhere. Not very accurate. Couldn't get anything going. But, I think there's more to it than that. You know, I think Dalton is not the kind of guy that's going to, he's not Brady, he's not Manning, he's not Carson Palmer, he's not a big guy that's going to stand back there and throw darts in the pocket. He's a point guard, he's a distributor, and he does a good job doing that. He does a good job when he's got space and you're running the ball. He can get things done. He's a winner. He's won on the road. He's won at home. He's won big games. He's been to the playoffs twice in 2 years. He's won more games, thrown more touchdown passes than most, than most guys have done in the first 2 years. So there's more to it than that than Dalton.
Jeff, you mentioned the running game. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, obviously the numbers don't look so great, 2.7 a carry, and Bernard's given a little boost. How are those carries, you think, going to be divvied up over the next coming weeks?
More and more, it's going to be Bernard. Bernard's going to be the guy, clearly. But Benny's an important guy in this thing because, in this division, you want to, I think the Bengals want to be a ball control, play action type club. I think so,
And still looking for an identity.
Benny would be a big guy for that, but I think that he's been big for them in short yardage and goal line. He's been important. But I think Gio, more and more, I kind of see it being a little bit more, for every 10 carries Gio gets, I think Benny probably gets 6 to 7.
Interesting. Defensively, a lot of injuries over there, Jeff. I see some of the early inactives are starting to come out. I'm not sure if we have Cincinnati's just yet, but that defensive backfield really banged up. Do you have a sense of how that's going to look when the game starts today?
It's not going to look good. I may be in there at the slot. Leon Hall is not going to be. I doubt that Leon Hall is going to play. Brandon G is not going to play. Those are the two top slot corners. Drake or Patrick has not played very much golf in scrimmage. So the next guy up in the slot, he's a very competent guy, is Chris Crocker. But he's been on the couch. Up until the last week. They went and got him on September 24th. So that's not a great matchup.
Of course, if they get beat by the slot receiver, that's their own problem. But I do think they feel like that Crocker's a competent guy in the slot, and he is. The problem is this, if somebody else goes down, then I mean they're at bare bones back there.
What have you thought of the pass rush so far? I know Geno Atkins, first couple weeks, I sort of read some criticisms. Maybe he was off to a slow start, came on last week. Where is the pass rush in its development early in the year? Because that's obviously a big factor for them on defense.
I mean, I think Geno's played fine. I mean, Geno's played well. I mean, he gets double teamed. I mean, he's making things happen for other people. I think where it hasn't been as consistent has been an end. I thought, before they get thinged up here, I thought, the Bengals were pretty well constituted to take a run at the Patriots because it's an awful lot like that Giants defensive line, with Geno inside and, and the two ends. But I don't know if Michael Johnson's going to play today. So
he's actually inactive. They just released it on Twitter, so he's out today.
Yeah. So that's a big problem too, because they have, I feel like that, the key is going to be Geno. If he can get up the middle on Brady, and I think Geno's had a fine year. I mean, I know he's getting criticized, but that's just because he doesn't have sacks, but it's more to it than sacks. But the key is Geno more than the end. He's got to get pressure. Because Gilberry, who's going to be playing for Michael Johnson, had 6.5 sacks last year in a rotation. So, I think the ends can get to him. Although they haven't played the Patriots have two really good tackles that they haven't seen. They haven't played tackles like that this year.
Jeff,
you sort of started
off with, the Bengals aren't exactly where they thought they'd be with the talent and the expectations. I mean, some people thought this was a Super Bowl team. They're 2-2 right now. One of the topics around here this week was the fact that Bill Belichick and Marvin Lewis are the two longest tenured coaches in the NFL. And when you compare the work they've done over that time, obviously Belichick, it's rings, it's a couple Super Bowl losses, AFC title games. And that's not the case for Marvin Lewis. And at some point, with the talent they have and the expectations, are the crows starting to circle a little bit in Cincy?
No, I don't. Marvin's pretty safe here. I think Marvin's gone through a couple of different reboots. He's kept a steady hand on the thing. And I obviously this is a big year for him because I think they felt like that this was the year to take the jump after they blew everything up after 2010. But I don't think, as far as his job being in jeopardy, I don't see it.
Now, Jeff, I've called you many times over the years, and I know when I get your voicemail, the voice that I hear, would it have anything to do with the fact that that Marvin's office, much like us here in Gillette, we don't have anywhere near as close a relationship with Belichick as you do with Marvin Lewis.
I don't think Marvin's a big fan of mine, but I think that the thing that Marv's done is he has, people forget where this franchise was when he arrived.
Yeah.
It was, they've been in contention. I mean, I know it's not a Belichick type run, obviously, but they've been competitive through the decade, and there's been an awful lot of close calls. And I think that, the bottom line is this, the owner trusts the guy, he's put his faith in him, and he brought him back from nowhere in 2003. To Mike Brown, that means a lot.
Jeff, before we let you go, do you have a pick for today?
Yeah, I think I see the Bengals grinding this one out. They have to have it. The Patriots, this is about the time. They might, 4-0, second road game. I still don't think they're really together offensively. They're still kind of searching a little bit, although they did have that great game in Atlanta. I think Wolfork being out is really gonna hurt them. I see this thing coming down to Nugent, the Bengals field goal kicker, right at the end in the last minute or so, and maybe call it something like 24-21, 27-24.
He is Jeff Hobson. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jeff Hobson Sin, and also read him on Bengals.com. Jeff, thanks for the time.
Guys, thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, take care. Jeff Hobson of Bengals.com joining us here on the program.
I can't remember the last time we had an opposing writer pick his team.
I know.
It's about time.
No, seriously, it's been a long time.
Let's get back to things. A little clicking there.
Nothing gets by you as the host of this program.
Got noises coming through.
So Mike Brown's employment requirements is, we used to really be bad, and now we're competitive, so we're good.
Well,
you don't have to win a playoff game sooner or later. People don't think you have talent. From where I sit, Mike Brown has taken a lot of criticism.
They have a talented team right now, but I think that he has overachieved recently. with some of the teams that he's had. And I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve to be on the hot seat. And the way that Jeff sort of dismissed that, to me, if I were a Bengals fan, that would trouble me a little bit. The way that it's, I'm not saying that I want him out, but I do want to consider, can we get better at that spot? And it seems like they're not considering whether or not they can do better at that spot.
The way in which he says he's pretty safe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Nothing can happen.
It's not an issue. I mean, head coaching is not an issue. And I do agree with Andy that some guys are very good at being able to get you from the depths to competitive level. And he has certainly done a nice job of that. And listen, we don't know this because it's been a long time since the Patriots was so bad that kind of improvement was considered good.
Right.
But they were really bad for a long time. And now, what, is it 4 out of the last 6 years they've been in the playoffs?
Something
along those lines. And they haven't won in the playoffs, but he is consistently getting them to the playoffs.
Woo-wee! Job security.
Yeah, playoffs. Here's the Patriots inactives today as they've been announced. Rob Gronkowski, Matthew Slater, Stephen Ridley, Austin Colley, Chris Barker, Steve Beauharnais, and Tavon Wilson. Those are your inactives for the Patriots today. Danny Amendola is active, and according to all reports at this hour, he's ready to go. He's going to play.
Thought his groin looked really good this week. Paul and I stared at it for a long time.
Did you zero in on the groin?
I was. That was last week.
So
I'm not sure I made it in the locker room at all this week.
Hey, Fat Tony really likes that.
Who are the Cincinnati inactives?
Michael Johnson, Leon Hall, and I don't remember the rest.
Brains and sausage.
Those were the two that I can click on it for you, Paul. I'll get them right up for you. But those were the notable ones. Mike Pollock, Tanner Hawkinson, Rex Burkhead, Michael Johnson, Ryan Whalen, Leon Hall, Brandon Gee. Are the inactives.
For the Cincinnati Bengals.
So certainly the pass rush and the pass defense are a concern. And normally going against a Patriots team, that was a recipe for absolute disaster. I'm not sure it's quite the disaster area it once would have been.
It is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com. If you want to call in, it's 855-PATS-500, web radio at Patriots.com, or hashtag PPGS. You want to be using that as well.
If you are in Spain,
here we go. Spanish international number.
No, 900-834-8897.
You can barely speak English.
That was in English, 900-834-897.
You'd never know where to put the brakes.
I don't.
It's not your problem. It's just,
I don't know,
It's an ugly American problem.
Yes.
It's fine. That's okay. Joining us here in our studio,
yeah, you talk to
is
him.
Someone that I've
sandwich.
I've just met this person.
I love him, man.
And so you've got to give us your whole backstory because I don't know it, and I want everyone who's listening to know it as well who may not know it. This is Fat Tony. Who I hear has a tremendous tailgate for Patriots games.
Yes.
And makes spectacular food, which I have already started to eat.
Wait, more? You got to work on pulling stuff out of me. I'm very, very shy.
That's okay.
Really?
Come on.
Help him out.
You always distract me.
Help him out.
So we have a really good tailgate.
Okay.
We do things a little bit different. I don't know if the guys got you did any show prep, Mark.
Nope. No.
Or anything. So let me.
Oh, we didn't know you were coming.
I don't want to bore the listeners, but
no, you're not going to bore the
suffice
listeners.
Suffice to say that I'm the co-founder of the Water Buffalo Tailgating Club. And we raise money and awareness for various charities and groups. We're not the only people that do it, but I think we do it pretty well. We're growing every year. We're trying to expand our reach out into the other areas of New England. We're primarily based in Boston, south of Boston, in Quincy, Weymouth, Braintree. You might know a little bit about that.
Something.
We've been doing this for about 6 or 7 years. It's 7 years, and things are good.
You talked yourself right out of that one. Sorry, huh?
Things are good.
That's good. So 6 or 7 years. Now, he's brought in today. What do we got over there? We got the beef brisket.
Yes.
Got the sausage and peppers going.
Yes. Nothing like sausage and peppers at 11 a.m.
Which, Paul, I think Paul's already had five of them.
The brisket's phenomenal.
Thank you.
It's been here like 5 minutes.
Low and slow.
I love your meat.
All night long.
This is what he does.
All night long, low and slow. I know he does it to me all the time.
Your moist, soft, tender meat.
Can we read the Spain number,
juicy,
please?
No, I'm just going to eat. You talk amongst yourselves.
By the way, have you guys noticed the skinny guy going to town over here?
Yeah, of course. It's got that metabolism. They just have to worry about eating 18
He's come all the way from the Pole Center to get in here and enjoy the brisket.
It's a long trip.
Way to go, Hartwell.
My mom makes the best brisket.
Way to go.
So, Mark, let me tell you a little bit more. The way we do things with the tailgates is we tailgate afterwards. So the crafts have a setup upstairs that all of the concession stands around the perimeter are run by nonprofit organizations, and they're always looking for help. So we started to work with some nonprofit organizations coming down here, the group of us, to work with them. We had a hangout afterwards because you know the traffic is insane.
Right.
So we decided we would tailgate. It was a potluck tailgate. People would forget things. So we said, listen, everybody who comes, throw in $5. The end of the year when we bought everything and the food was set up, we had money left over in the bank account and said, what do you want to do with it? So we gave it to the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
That's how everything started.
So
you guys are, let me get this straight, volunteering your time during the game.
Yes.
With concession-related stuff.
Yes.
And then after the game, you hold it. It's a post-game tailgate.
Yes. And so if anybody wants to come and not sit in traffic, like when you guys are done with the show inside, because I know you get done late, you could come out once in a while. I offered to Paul, and they just don't want to hang with the low-level people like us.
You're from Quincy,
so I got no problem hanging out with the low-lifes.
I've been hanging out with low-lifes my whole life. I come from Everett. I'm clearly above you guys. Andy's too
North Shore.
Andy's knuckle-deep in another brisket sandwich. You know that Andy and I would love to blow off responsibilities whatsoever and enjoy the post-game tailgate, right?
Absolutely.
It's just not really possible.
That's lame.
That's lame. Work.
But I understand you guys can't come. It's fine. I was just joking around.
I would love to. I just want you to know how much we would really enjoy doing that. Well, Andy probably would hide behind the red velvet ropes, but I would. I'm a man of the people.
We invited Matt out. We do a tailgate every year. We bring about 15 or 20 kids to a training camp, and they're from ages 5 to 12. And we do a tailgate out there, although security was a little tough on us this year. Oh. You know, they're a little tough.
Would you have, like, an open pit?
Join the club? A bunch of kegs going, or what? What were you doing
out there? They won't let Andy in either.
Kids were drinking kegs. No, but the security's pretty good around here.
They still question me every time I come through the door. What are you doing here? I have a problem every time I come in this place.
Kevin in the command center was fine with me. Wanted to give me a tie and a jacket, thought I was with security, so.
Well, you're getting better treatment than the rest of us.
Well, it's because you give people food. Quite honestly, if you give people food, you can do anything you want anywhere in the world.
Good point. True. In Spain, especially.
See.
So, for an average home game, how many people do you have involved in the tailgate?
25 or 30.
Wow. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of mouths to feed.
It's a base of about 15 people.
And if it's anything like people like Andy, they all eat like Andy. If they all eat like Andy, you're going to need like a ton of food.
I had to have the second one because I didn't make the first one properly. He told me to open the roll open face, sop it down into the plate, get all the juices in there, then put my brisket on.
Better, right?
Phenomenal.
Get my brisket on.
Get your brisket on.
I hope I don't spend the first quarter in the toilet. But that's a different story.
Andy loves the tender meats. I love tender meats. Tony brought in tender juicy meat.
Soft, tender, juicy meat.
Oh my God, you guys are out of control. So the thing that makes Tony's got great meat. Thanks,
thick,
man.
Too.
That's
I like the thickness of your meat.
Thanks. Sometimes it's a little thin,
but you got a nice thick meat.
You really need to just stop.
It's brutal.
Andy likes to lay it on thick, as we've learned.
I like my meat thick.
What makes it a little easier on us is we have folks who underwrite a lot of the food now because we've been doing it for so long, and it's
that didn't show up on the radio.
Yeah, that didn't. You get a button.
I shut his mic off.
You could hear it in the other mics in the room.
Yeah,
I think that's just the biggest compliment I can give your food.
Thank you. In China, that would be a compliment. You're right.
See,
yeah. So we get a lot of the stuff. We get support from a lot of different people. The sausage. I'm not going to run down the list because it's not an ad. But the sausage guy in Boston, a few other places.
Where do you get your brisket?
The brisket is actually from a place called Bell's Market in South Boston.
See, Bell's Market.
Bell's Market in South Boston.
No fat on there. I liked it.
I'm particular too. Well, that's good about brisket. It needs to have a little fat because it's slow and low.
Well, as long as you cook it away, I don't like to. Yeah.
That gives it the taste in the
pan. That's fine, but I don't need to see it or die gristle or anything.
So that's what we do. So it's going very well. And I'm really distracted.
Susie's looking a little extra cute today. I'm a little distracted. Susie in Chicago.
So, what happened to the picture that was up there?
Oh, it fell down. Oh, I banged
he just knocked
it
down.
I came by with my sandwich.
He banged Mary McDonald.
It's like being at Disney World in the horrible mansion.
What do you got coming up? I know you guys do a lot of, like you do a toy drive, right?
Yes. Thank you. Great segue. Nice job.
I remember
we're,
things.
We're going to hook up with the Toys for Tots again this year. It's the fourth year. They open up on October 15th. And we're expanding our help network. So we're going to be delivering boxes, picking up toys all around Boston and Massachusetts. We're going to have some sites that I'm going to send the Whiz Kid over there on the social media that you can drop toys off at.
Hartwell, more like capable.
He's in charge of the poll center. Where are you taking him?
Borderline competitive.
So, and we have on December 1st, we have a charity event at the Commonwealth Restaurant in Quincy, which you probably know where it is. It's the old Chevy's.
Mark, you should get there. It's your stomping grounds.
That would be wonderful.
Do you want him
really
to MC?
The old Pat Flanagan's.
He will volunteer his time to MC.
Really put him on the spot, man. That's December 1st.
He just keeps his mouth
from
shut.
From three to whenever.
What day of the week is
December
1st?
Is a Sunday.
It's a Sunday. The Patriots play that day?
Of course. Yes.
No, that might be a problem for me.
You can come
after. He'll be here.
I'll have to come after.
Yeah, you can come after.
He'll be there. I booked him.
Did you see that, Andy? He's now my booking agent.
Just bring him some meat.
So just
show him your meat, and he'll follow
tender,
you anywhere.
Tender, juicy meat.
I was going to say that.
Wow. Speaking of the whiskey, let's go to the poll center right now, and let's see what's going on.
First
in the poll
of the day, better, sausage or brisket? I'm going brisket.
What do we got in the poll center?
Put that on the poll.
All right. First poll of the day. With Vince Wilfork out, who needs to step up the most on defense today? Choices?
Wait. Can I answer before you give me my choices?
No, let me give you the choices, Paul.
On the defensive line.
Okay, mine was on the defensive line.
Okay.
Chandler Jones is the answer.
All right.
Thank you.
Choices are Chris Jones, Tommy Kelly, Joe Valano, or Chandler
Jones.
Tommy Kelly.
Are you kidding me?
It's all right on Chandler Jones.
Right now,
he's
why?
The young stud of this defense. Stand up. You're going to get a little more attention now. You're going to be the stud. Maybe some double teams going your way. You got to stand up. Tommy Kelly's a good, solid veteran. Tommy Kelly will be fine. Tommy Kelly will get the job done.
I like Tommy Kelly.
I love Tommy Kelly.
I like the defense.
Tommy Kelly is one of my quickest ascending favorites in that locker room. He comes in here, very nice guy. Very. Does not. You know, he looks a little imposing. Big, tall dude. Always got a dip in his mouth. And he just like... What are you pulling out your dip?
Yep.
You keep your dip in your pants.
I can't do it with the microphone, though.
No, you can't. But he just one of the nicest, friendliest, kindest, gentle,
great.
Giant souls.
Oh, what does that have to do with how well
he
plays
football,
on Sunday?
Yeah, come on.
I can root for him.
Oh.
I root for him.
Valano's
like him.
The leading vote getter, right?
Valano's interesting because...
Fan favorite.
Yep. Well, not only a fan favorite, a meatball kind of guy, because that's his nickname, Meatball, but... He's also a fire hydrant. You know, we talked about this earlier. Tommy Kelly is a taller, different kind of player. Whereas if you're looking for a guy to just kind of eat up a couple blockers, I think that's Meatball. That's his M.O. And we've talked about some fans warned us how good he was going to be. And, you know, he was an All-American during his junior year at Maryland. I'm not really sure which All-American team he made. I think this is one of those where the PR staff used like a, you know, Street and Smith's named him to their own. Not exactly the majors, the AP or any of those. But, I mean, this is a guy that had a pretty good college career, and I don't think it'd be astounding if he comes in and impresses us. Do you, Paul?
Who are we talking about now?
Thanks for joining the show, Paul.
Paul's still eating.
So what are the percentages?
I knew I wasn't paying attention, and that's why he did that.
44 on Valano, 22 on Chandler Jones, and Kelly and Chris Jones each got 17%.
I don't really know anything about Chris Jones.
I know nothing about Chris Jones.
A lot of respect for Chris Jones.
The only thing I'll say about Chris Jones that I find mildly intriguing is that it's been him instead of a guy that was in the system last year. I mean, Valano was here all training camp, but clearly they saw something they liked and whatever. And
ascended pretty quickly.
Yeah.
We saw him in the rotation.
Chris Jones sort of came out of nowhere and has vaulted Marcus Forston. I find that somewhat intriguing.
Let's get to an email.
That is all. That is all I know about Chris Jones.
Okay, we'll all just look at each other on the radio now.
No Calvin Johnson today for the Lions, huh?
Oh, too bad we're not playing the Lions.
Probably not going to help the chances for the Lions to snap that 22-game, whatever. How many games in a row they lose at Lambeau?
We got somebody 21 in a row? Hijacking the hashtag PPGS.
Really?
Some swing surgeon. Apparently, I'm guessing he thinks it has a different meaning for him or whatever, but like 12 in a row, some swing surgeon doctor is trying to hijack the PPGS feed.
Golf.
Yeah, I know. Thanks.
Well, back to the emails. Webradio@patriots.com.
A lot of animosity.
You have to leave here at some point.
You notice how Andy gets all mean after he eats? Yeah, after he eats, though. You know, you're the greatest guy ever before he gets the food.
No, you're still the greatest guy ever.
Thanks.
I love you. This is Ask Paul. This is what I do with my friends. I bust their nuts.
Really?
Yep. Wow. If you can't hang, then can't hang.
Getting hot, fresh nuts.
Michael writes in, hi, Mark and C, Michael. Andy, Paul, Fat Tony. I'm hoping to see an effective pass rush, even with Big Vince out. Fingers crossed. Ready for some over-unders?
Yes.
Chandler Jones sacks at 2. We going over or under?
Under.
Under.
I'm going to go under.
Under?
Under.
Okay.
Rob Ninkovich sacks at 2.
Under.
It's kind of a high number.
Yeah.
It is a high number.
Here's another one that I think we'll all go under on. Amendola receptions, 10.
Under.
Oh, over.
Under. Over.
Over. Fat Tony likes what he sees.
That guy's got a lot of sack, I think.
He does.
He does.
But part of it's broken. But it's torn. Part of it's not attached to his body anymore.
Are we sure that he's not 100%? You don't think he's
100%? Oh, I'm sure he's not 100%.
So you've had groin injury? Are we doing the Tony Maz Achilles thing?
I have had groin injury.
Is it realistic that he's...
My groin injury lingered forever.
The Tony Maz Achilles thing.
Yeah, Tony Maz did the Achilles thing, so he was definitely an expert on the Vince Wilfork thing.
But, I mean, if all reports...
I hate Michael Felder.
Okay. I agree with you.
Okay, God,
but,
sorry.
You know, that's just a side topic for a different day. But, I mean, I have to trust the reports. The groin was torn from the bone. That's not recovering. It's learning to deal with it. It's learning for the other muscles to sort of take over.
Does it reattach?
No. Well,
you've got to put it back together.
Surgically. My guess is he'll have a procedure after the Super Bowl. See what I did there?
Awesome.
See what I did there?
Yeah,
I put the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
That's a
I don't think you put
that's
them in the Super Bowl.
You just said that
you
it was done after the
Super
Bowl.
He said nothing about the Patriots.
Well, if they go out in December, he might as well have it the first week of January.
Well, what if they go out in the middle of January?
Then he might as well have it the third week of January.
That brother got some sack because he's going to have to get shot up every game.
There could be some medication.
Yeah.
It's possible.
The over-under is from Michael Schmidt, by the way, in Doha, Qatar. International emailer. Right
I think, don't we say it differently?
Fred says Qatar.
Yeah, see, is it Qatar or is it Qatar?
I think either is acceptable. I think the common one nowadays is Qatar.
I've seen people look at you like,
I always tell a story.
No one knows what it is.
I went to school, and one of my good friends, I remember I cheated off him like a banshee throughout my freshman year.
And he's proud of it. He's just announcing it on the radio.
Yeah, cheated off him in some math class that I had to take because I was told there'd be no math. He always said Qatar. He was from the country, and he said Qatar.
He was from Qatar.
Yes.
Well, then we're going to take his word for it.
But nowadays, everybody calls it Qatar. I don't know which is the proper term.
We also are a bit biased against, like, Africa and the Middle East in our alliance. We don't have any over there. Plenty of Europe, Australia, Asia.
Beetle moving on.
Why do we not have any African numbers?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, Andy, and you know what? That's above my pay grade, as I like to say.
Fred Kirsch, where are the African phone numbers?
You're going to have to check in with someone above
me. We'd like to ask our European callers to step aside for a moment.
Still didn't get one from Spain. Is that the one that wasn't working? No, Italy wasn't working. Spain, 9008348 97. If you are listening to the Patriots pregame social in Spain,
sounds like a Powerball.
I want you to call in right now. We need to make sure the Spain number.
You've won $1 million, and we need to hear from you in Spain.
Order before midnight tomorrow.
If you are in North America, the toll free number is 855-PATS-500.
We can get those anytime. I want somebody from Spain to call in.
Well, we know we are very popular
Where's
in Australia.
My guy, Iggy?
I don't know if you've been listening over the last few weeks, but we've had a lot of callers from Australia. Fat Tony, we're real big in Australia.
We are.
In fact, we're thinking about the East Coast. We're thinking about taking the show on the road over there. That's what we really should
do. Want to come with us?
Sure.
We'll go down to Sydney, see that opera house that everybody's always raving about.
I'm going to push in the water so the sharks will eat you.
Have a Foster's, as Andy would say.
I could get stung with one of the rays, like what's his name did? Steve Irwin.
That was terrible.
Wow, Andy. Way to go there.
R.I.P. Well, he died.
Web radio.
Just saying a fact.
I mean, how many people does that happen to?
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen often.
Like get stung by a ray?
Yeah, through the chest.
How many people that chase rays does it happen to? He was probably chasing the stupid thing. He did a lot of dumb stuff.
Here's an email.
That was
from
an odd way to die.
Cal Goatee in Owensburg, Kentucky.
Yo.
Cal
writes in, hey guys, Rob Ninkovich has had a quiet season so far this year. He was a beast at the end of last season. What do you think the difference is in Rob then compared to now? Do you think he can step it up?
Sure.
I don't know that he's had a quiet.
I don't think he has. I disagree with that.
I think he's been pretty consistent.
I mean, he hasn't had, like,
I agree.
Big game-changing plays. Right. He's probably due for those.
Very consistent, though.
You know what that's a product of? His career. He has had a lot of those plays, and I think if he goes three or four games without them, people are like, you know, where's Rob Ninkovich with the pick or the strips? Yeah. I think he's had so many of those, maybe people want one, but I think he's been good. Right. Solid.
I think he's been solid.
My favorite player.
Mike Baker writes in. Also,
I know that doesn't matter on the football field.
Mike and Sodak. He writes, Andy can blame me, the one guy on the internet, for making Villano the fan favorite.
Oh, it was him?
Yeah.
Nice.
He says, to the internet, Mike and Sodak, right. Or as Andy calls me, that one guy on the internet.
Where's Sodak?
But wait, and were you the guy, Mike?
South Dakota.
And I hope that you write back him. In. Were you the guy that had the depth chart way back in like May or June that had Joe Villano starting next to Vince Wilfork?
Or maybe there were two guys on the internet.
I'm wondering if there's
Mike,
two.
Mike has emailed us a lot about Villano and about – he just emails us a lot in general.
Yeah,
so
the guy that Andy and I are talking about, it was just this very descriptive Joe Villano love. And
kind of like his dad or his agent.
Yeah, and had a depth chart that had – it was like, you know, Mayo, Chandler Jones, Hightower, Ninkovich, Wilfork, and Villano. And it was just like, where did this come from? You know, where did this guy ascend to? I don't know.
Let's go back.
Maybe it's him. Maybe it's Mike.
Sorry. Let's go back to the phones. And
Lynn. Spain?
Lynn is not in Spain. Lynn is in
Lynn.
New Jersey. Oh. Hello, Lynn.
It's like Spain.
Hi. I wish I was in Spain, but.
Well, Jersey's so much nicer.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl's there this year.
Yeah, it is.
That's right. The home of the Super Bowl. Yes. New Jersey.
Be proud,
right,
New Jersey.
Right. actually, from New Hampshire, we moved here for business, so, you know, but planning to come back. Anyway, my question is, what do you think about the fact that Belichick never throws a challenge, even when it's clearly, you know, in our favor?
Well, he threw one last week in the game.
Yeah, one last week, but not really, but he hardly ever does.
Well, he only does it when he's pretty sure he's going to win. I mean, he gets good advice from Ernie Adams up in the box and the other guys that are up in the box. And, you know, generally when they challenge, I think you see a lot of coaches that just challenge on their own whim or their own instincts or whatever. And they lose a lot. I think Belichick does a pretty good job challenging when he has a legit chance to win the challenge.
Yeah, was there a specific one that you're wondering about, Lynn?
Yeah, there was one. Now I'm going to mess it up. I know, but it was one where we saw clearly we were, I think it was even a touchdown, everybody was saying, and then they said we have to hear from, no, I'm sorry, I'm confusing.
Okay, that's not that important. That's okay.
Anyway, yeah.
All right, I think Andy's right. I think he tends to have a very good record. When he does challenge, I think his record is pretty good.
Thanks, Lynn.
Appreciate it, Lynn.
Paul. 30 seconds ago, Mike Reese, Patriots in white jerseys with dark blue pants and silver helmets.
There you go.
In black jerseys with white pants, and it scrolled off my screen.
That's what we call
breaking news right there.
Game pants.
Yeah. Not that I care either way, but at least Cincinnati does wear black or orange.
Indeed.
At home. So there is, you know, Patriots wear white on the road.
Okay.
All right. Thomas writes in on email, guys, it looks like Gronk is becoming the new Derrick Rose of football.
Seen that a lot lately.
Do you think the Pats regret cutting Suds, Thomas, in Baltimore?
No.
Not at all.
No.
I think they probably regret that Gronk's not on the field, but I don't think it has anything to do with Suds, as you want to call him. Now the discussion is, should he have been in PUP? Now you're coming up against the sixth week.
Sixth week.
So now the discussion's, did you waste a roster spot for a team that has been dealing with a good fair amount of injuries here early in the year?
Right, and now you've gotten away with it because you've won the games. I just don't like the argument. We talked about this a little last week. The whole he can practice argument does not hold any water with me at all. He could be doing all the same things that he's been doing if he were on PUP. He just wouldn't be able to practice necessarily with the team in the regular practice, but he could be doing all the rehab work. I think people have this notion of PUP being like a suspension where he's barred from the facility and he wouldn't have been here. That's not the case. Armin Armstead has been here. He's on NFI. He's been here. He's been in meetings. ESPN Boston had a piece about him last week. He's been part of all of the stuff that they're doing. He just physically hasn't been out at practice. Practicing. He could be out there. He just can't practice. So to me, that's a very, very small benefit
that gets dwarfed by that roster spot. And I've been led to believe that roster spots are important.
Just an interesting Field Yates question. I don't know if people are aware. He obviously does a lot of football stuff for the Patriots, ESPN, but he's also kind of a fantasy guy for ESPN, does a lot on that area. And he says he's getting a lot of questions about Amendola. And he said he would start him today based on how he's moving around in warm-ups. So clearly Field Yates likes what he sees from Danny Amendola in warm-ups.
Fantasy. Worth the start on your fantasy team, Tony.
Tony
put
says
him on
I
your
hate
team.
Fantasy.
Well, fantasy football is ruining football.
And that's a
that's
fair
why
assessment.
Everybody's so
and yet this guy hates Felger. I don't know. I don't know if I believe you.
No, I
hate Felger.
I do hate Felger. I don't know him, but I hate him.
I know him, and I hate him. my greater point is...
We agreed on this last year, by the way,
yes,
too.
If you're going like to start him for fantasy, you're expecting he's going to catch 10 balls for 85 yards and what... I mean, that's going to help the Patriots, too, if he does that, if he goes out there and has that type of performance.
Right. All right, 855-PATS-500 and hashtag PPGS, along with the email webradio at patriots.com. Tony's hanging out with us. He's going to continue to do that. And we're going to, coming up next, we're going to get to the keys to the game, which Andy is anxious to give you. And also...
Might be Eno Gay Atkins A.
We'll get to the keys to the game, and we'll also get to the Sunday six-pack as well. That's next.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a Triple Play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. You've waited all week for it.
No, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
It's time for the keys to the game with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo as the Patriots get set to take on the Bengals this afternoon in Cincinnati with a 1 o'clock kickoff. And we're getting you ready for the game right here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. But guys, what are your keys to the game today?
Paul, you want to go first?
Okay, I'll go first this week. I'm going to say, got to get the ball out of the get the ball out of Brady's hands quickly today in the passing game. I don't think it's going to be a heavy run game without Ridley. You're down one in that committee. I think you have a possibility of, you know, having some of the other guys. You got Washington active for the first time in a while. You got Brandon Bolden banged up. I'm not sure you can have a heavy run game today. So I think you're going to have to get back to the timing passing game, and I think you got to get the ball out of Brady's hands quickly to make sure the pass rush doesn't get disruptive.
You know
that's
why
my key
gotta,
to the game.
You know why you got to get the ball out of Brady's hands quickly? Because Geno Atkins is a force in the inside of that defensive line for Cincinnati. They're obviously without Michael Johnson, so even more pressure on Geno Atkins, their $55 million man. And I don't always think that the interior of the Patriots line dominates. I think Logan Mankins might be dealing with a little something injury-wise. Earlier in this season. Yeah, I've seen him flexing his shoulder, his elbow. I think there's a little something going on in his upper body. And the other two guys, Wendell and Conley, I think are always a little susceptible to a real good player having their way with them. Let's be honest, Conley got bitch slapped by Sean Ellis a couple years ago like you wouldn't believe. Earned Sean Ellis $4 million from the Patriots, so that team certainly later came to regret. But I just think they need to block that interior defensive front because when Brady goes downhill, sort of as Jeff Hobson said, they look like they were built to take on Tom Brady in these defensive lines, and the Giants have done in the past. So I think that's key. Another little minor key is my boy Kenbrell Tompkins, who I think, despite his plays last week, continues to be a bit of an adventure at receiver. And you know when he's flailing for the ball and his body goes one way and the ball's going the other? And you know that could be worse in the wet ball situation in Cincinnati. Could have some balls deflecting off hands. So that concerns me as a sub-factor in this game.
A lot of keys to the game there. A lot of different keys. A lot of things going on.
I don't know if you know, there's 22 guys on the field at any one time. A lot of matchups.
22 guys at any given moment.
Well, you know, occasionally there's 23 or 21 if somebody forgets or something. But
We have an email here from Jeffrey in Florida. He writes in, "Hey, guys, this question is from a real-life union journeyman carpenter. Is this the home stadium for the University of Cincinnati where Kenbrell Tompkins played?"
No.
No, it is not. That is not where the University of Cincinnati plays. They play at Nippert Stadium. That is the name of their Stadium in Cincinnati.
It's on campus, right?
Yes. And he writes...
Nippert?
Nippert.
What is a Nippert? Is that a person?
That's probably named after somebody, I'm assuming.
Al Nippert?
We'll find out who it is.
Why would you say, what is a Nippert?
I don't know.
And expect a big day.
I like breasts, so if a Nippert is related to a nipple, I might like it.
And now we're just going to take a moment of awkward silence.
You know
silence.
How much he seeps into your subconscious? That yesterday, there was something on last night I was watching. I don't even know what it had to do with, but the guy goes, I'm really passionate about, and I said, breasts. Just sitting there watching TV.
I think you might be a loser.
And Beth looks at me and she's like, what? I go, that's an Andyism from the radio.
Along with that.
And then, of course, it spawned a half-hour conversation. Andy talks about loving breasts on the radio. Yes.
I'm glad
yes,
she does. Listen. I'm glad. Expect a big day from Julian Edelman being back in Ohio. Punt returns especially.
This guy's big on location.
I'm not buying
Home
into that
stadium,
either.
Ohio.
I'm not buying into that.
He's from California.
Right. Yeah, but he went to Kent State. So.
I know where he went to school.
What else we got?
Is your,
I can't hear your
mic on?
Yeah, I think it's on the other end.
Turn your mic on.
Turn Fat Tony's mic on.
There he goes.
Does he have 47 receptions over four games this year?
No. I believe it's 34.
34?
37 is his career high.
Wait,
who are we talking about?
You talking about Edelman?
Yeah, he's having a career year.
He is, okay.
His career high is 37. He will pass it today.
It's about
the last three seasons combined, he had 32 catches.
It's about a four-hour drive from Kent State to where the Cincinnati Bengals
that's irrelevant.
Are.
What do you like, the king of the Rust Belt or something? Like,
I just looked it up.
Nippert Stadium, it's a four-hour drive.
Like, I just looked it up. I didn't know. But we got to find out who Nippert Stadium is named after.
Al.
We not?
I thought we established that
who?
Was Al Nippert.
James Gamble Nippert.
And who is he?
So it says and what did he do?
They're all Googling.
That's a quote, as Tony Maz would say, the Wikipedia.
Eric Scalavino checking in on Twitter just wanted to remind us the Patriots are rocking their pink cleats, gloves, and towels today for
rocking
Breast Cancer Awareness today. Month.
Whole month of October.
Yes, so you see a lot of pink on the field.
Breast Cancer Awareness. Mike Reese tweeting out just a few minutes ago that Patriots kicker Steven Goskowski concludes his pregame warm-up, his distance today, his long. 53 to 54 yards, both ends of the field.
That's his distance every week.
The wind is going to be between 10 and 15 miles an hour from what
out of what direction?
Out of the south.
Oh, out of the south.
Out of the south.
So it'll be with you one way, against you the other.
And I hope when we talk to Eric Scalavino when we go inside the press box that he has gone outside and put his finger in the air and has taken all the correct measurements.
How come you don't give keys to the game? Aren't you kind of like a...
No, we went over this in week one. I do not give keys to the game. It's time for Andy and Paul to give keys to the game.
Okay.
Just like the introduction says.
Okay.
Is that a source of contention for you?
I think that way Beatles stays out of it.
No, it is not.
Sorry.
No, it's not.
Were you going to swear?
Yes.
Yeah,
it was.
Kevin wasn't even paying attention to
me. Not allowed to swear on
him. Andy has been calling for someone to call from Spain.
Uh-oh. Calling for Uh-oh. Someone to call for?
Are you kidding me?
We ask and ye shall receive?
We haven't got
is
a call from Spain.
Madrid?
We got an email from Spain.
If you have email, then you probably have a phone.
No, listen.
Donde?
Listen for a second, Andy.
9-0-0-8-3-4-8-9-7.
Call.
Robert from Ottawa, who is currently in Spain, writes.
He called him Roberto.
Yeah, Roberto from Ottawa. He writes in, hey guys, sorry, I don't have a SIM card for Spain, or I would give you a call.
I don't even know what that means.
You put it in your cell phone to make your cell phone work.
Use a payphone then. It's an 800. It's a free call. So Papa, they still have payphones over there, don't they?
Do you have a bet on getting
Papa Peso in the cell phone?
Peso.
I don't think they use pesos in Spain.
What do they use over there?
That's a good question.
A
what
euro.
Do they use there?
And they're
euro.
On the euro?
Euro.
Okay, pop a euro in the payphone and call.
It's probably 150 euros.
But Robert writes.
Overall knowledge on this show is astounding.
I hope you're including yourself.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
I've been on the show longer than any of you.
As long as it's a we, not a you.
He writes, but I'm still following the pregame social and the Pats as I walk across northern Spain. Eric would know about this sort of thing. Ask him about the Camino.
El Camino?
I don't know. What is something going on here?
Eric, we'll talk to him later. We'll ask him. About, Eric,
you guys can
tell
ask
us
about
the
later.
Camino. You know what we mean.
He writes, anyway, thanks for the show. And go Pats. Rob from Ottawa, now in Spain.
Wait a minute. How is he listening as he walks across Spain but can't call? How does that work?
I'm not really sure. Maybe he can email us again and let us know.
So email works. His app works. He's listening on his phone, I'm guessing, as he walks across Spain.
I don't know. You need to turn your
mic
on.
You need to turn your mic off if you want to be a part of the program.
He needs a SIM card for international calling.
So SIM is just for calling?
Yeah.
I don't even know what SIM means.
Me neither, but I think you need it.
You got a photo to post.
But whatever. I mean, he can get on the internet, right?
Oh, yeah. And by cuties, I mean cute kids, not the other cuties, I would say.
Let's go back to the phones.
It's a good thing you made that, because when it pops up on his screen, and I'm looking like, you creep.
855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. Nick's in Augusta, not Maine, Augusta, Georgia. Hi, Nick.
Oh, nice.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing today?
Good, what's up?
I have a quick question. If the Pats run defense gets gashed today, do you expect them to go out and sign some veteran on for the defensive line, or wait for Armstead to get back?
They're not signing anybody.
Fat Tony says they're not signing anybody.
Just by the way, they're 4-0. So if
the
they lose this game, it's.
They don't look at it that way.
I know, but I do.
And I know you know a lot about your beef, but this is football.
They're not going to sign anybody.
So you're saying if they give up 250 yards on the ground today, and Danny Amendola, nope, Joe Villano looks like he's on roller skates, they're not going to say, "Well,
do,
we really need to
really,
do something."
Do you think they're going to gas them that hard?
No, I don't. But what if they do?
What ifs, what ifs, what ifs? But I mean, that argument is specious, just so you know.
Wow.
That's a specious argument.
Throw in the vocabulary.
You and I are a different species. Sure, from Salty?
I just don't think they're going to go out and sign any veteran people right now. They could have signed some veteran receivers. They
did. They did. Austin Colley.
Well, Austin Colley. Oh, they just did that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I think...
So what about next week? They just sign a defensive lineman, or look into it a little more closely, maybe.
Okay, look into it a little more closely.
We know they do that. We know sometimes they give something a chance and say, okay, well, you know, Villano got killed or
whatever.
Plus,
they've had defensive linemen in to look during the course of the season so far. I don't think they brought necessarily guys in this week, but we know during this, you know, the first month plus of the season, they've had a lot of guys in for tryouts, and workouts, I should say, not tryouts, workouts. And there's been some defensive linemen. I wouldn't be stunned if, to me, it would depend on how it unfolded. If they went in, if they played a lot of base and Spikes was out there and quote unquote, with how they think they're going to get around missing Vince, and all of a sudden Benny runs for 130 yards, you know, when he's been averaging less than 3 yards a carry all year, yeah, I think they'll probably go out and try to get somebody.
Well, what about the Armstead aspect?
I'm not looking at Armstead to be a big run stuffing, you know, interior defensive lineman.
I agree. Having never seen him play, I don't think. I mean he's seen him at USC and didn't know it.
He's a lighter guy. I mean, he's a 300-pound guy, but I mean, I know it sounds silly when you say
he's tweener to the outside, not the inside.
Yeah, I think he's more of a guy
that
they wanted to be
end kind of guy, kind of build. I think, you know, a little Tommy Kelly like a defensive tackle who is a little more athletic. I'm not sure he's what we talked about earlier, the fire hydrant guy, Keith Traylor, the guy that's just going to eat up blockers.
And then you add to that the fact that he's done nothing so far physically.
Right.
So not only I don't think he's a prototypical interior defensive lineman in terms of stopping the run, what do you even have yet as a player? I'm not sure, you know, coming off an infection, how strong the guy is, what his situation is. I'm not looking at Armstead to be coming in as the savior.
Do you get the feeling that Patriots fans are more concerned about the Wilfork loss than we are?
Well,
it's radio.
For me personally, yes.
Yes.
Because I'm not overly concerned about the loss.
I love Wilfork.
I love Wilfork too, but I'm not overly concerned with the
loss.
But do you think they're screwed?
No.
Do you think it's a big loss?
I think it's a loss because I think it's a because
he's not here anymore.
Well, because he's not here, and he provides a lot of defensive leadership.
Sure,
you know what I mean, and that's a big deal when you have young guys out on the field.
Everybody's saying that he's going to be around here all the time. Brady mentioned it. Belichick mentioned it. You know that Rob Ninkovich mentioned it. They're expecting Vince to be in the building. I don't know about every day, but a lot. Do you think that helps, or do you lose something because you're not playing?
I think you need to be on the field.
I agree. I do think it carries
less
weight.
If you're in the war, yeah.
Yeah, it carries less weight.
It means something, but...
But not as much as it could mean.
When you're battling.
So, yeah, I just the vibe I get is fans think that's a bigger deal than maybe the media does right now.
I'm a fan.
Jesus, do I have to tell everybody on this show to turn their mic on?
I'm going to stay quiet.
Mine's on.
Wow.
Paul, you're the only one. You and I can do this. We realize that the mic must be on to talk.
And the button for my mic is on the other side of the sausage and the peppers.
I would say that a lot of people are kind of writing off Wilfork as being not a significant loss.
Media-wise.
Because, no, I'm talking about fan-wise.
You think fans too?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have said that it's not going to be a major significant loss for the team.
I think they're listening to Bill. I mean, Bill had all kinds of praise for him the other day when he had his press conference.
And he deserved that praise.
He does. I'm not saying he doesn't.
And it's a total unknown. This defense has always had Vince Wilfork. Every year, it's like 16 games, whatever the numbers were, 6 years, and 3 games the other 2 years that he's missed. He's never missed the amount of time he's going to miss.
When you think of all the contact that he has to make every down.
Which is why I often said I will never criticize him for not stretching in training camp because he never gets hurt. Now he's hurt. I don't know if I should criticize him or not, but I'm not going to.
Well, do you believe that he got injured prior to that, the on-the-field injury that he kind of tweaked it?
The foot. Yeah. You know, he was listed with a foot injury that week before. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's definitely worth thinking about because
they were quick to announce him ankle, which is obviously kind of where the Achilles is, in your ankle and not foot. I mean, they didn't announce foot during the game when he got hurt.
Right.
Here's another email coming in, webradio@patriots.com. Hi, guys. G'day from Australia.
G'day, mate.
Up early.
Another shrimp on the barbie.
Up early for a 4 a.m. kickoff today.
Can you have breakfast barbecue with a little shrimp?
Do you see the Patriots having any tight end production today? It bothers me that we have a position that offers almost nothing to our attack. And now that Sudfeld is gone, do you think it's likely we'll see Fells or another tight end signed soon? Love your work, and a big shout-out to the PFW Elite. What is the PFW Elite? Can you explain that? What does that mean?
It's the guys on the Facebook page. They call themselves the PFW Elite.
Tony goes, it's Patriots Football Weekly.
We understand that, but what is the Elite? The Elite
That's
part.
Their group. They call themselves the PFW Elite.
Oh, okay.
I thought they were all the ones that somebody kicked off, like him.
Oh, I don't know. Kevin, did Kevin not... is he not there anymore? I don't see him.
Oh, he's there. He's under the desk.
What? He's hiding.
Wait, what?
He's under the desk.
It's a subgroup on
because there's a lot of
on the Facebook
that get
page.
With that.
Yes,
well, they're a big part of our listeners,
okay, and they're quite high on themselves.
PFWinProgress.com.
Mary Elite, they should
is a website of our listeners, and the PFW Elite is another subsection of our listeners.
Okay, all right. Well, now I know what that is.
Now, did we really lose anything with Zach Sudfeld leaving?
You lost a tight end. You lost a body.
You lost
the
a body.
Tight end scored a touchdown last week, didn't he?
Yeah, Mulligan.
Mulligan, yeah.
Sudfeld didn't touch
the
ball.
No, he couldn't touch the ball.
Right.
It's going away from him all the time.
I mean, you didn't really lose anything. Now, I don't expect to get much contribution from the tight end position today or moving forward until Gronk's back. That's the guy. You're not going to go out and necessarily sign Daniel Fells. You want Gronk to be on the field and healthy.
You know what I noticed over the last four games is Brady's getting back to where he was in the early part of his career where he's throwing to the open man. So if Mulligan gets open, he'll throw him the ball if he's on the field. I mean, I have a...
Well, he certainly doesn't have a lot of preconceived notions because the only guy he can really have any trust in is Edelman. The other guys, he has no idea where they're going once the ball is snapped.
But,
literally and figuratively. So he has to just kind of see who's going to get open. But that's what he's supposed to do. That's what they've beat us over the head with for years.
His favorite receiver is the open receiver.
But why do you say it like that? That's a serious point.
Well, that's what they've always said.
Okay. Oh, so you were adding... Okay, I got you. You're adding inflection to make it more serious. Gotcha.
Beetle.
I like that. I like having Tony here. He keeps Andy honest.
Beetle, again, offense, bad.
Offense is bad.
When you're, you know...
Right, bad.
Just throwing it to the same guy and scoring 580
points.
Yeah,
that's
bad.
Don't you hate that, Paul? Bad.
Let's spread,
you hate scoring points?
Let's spread it around so we can only score 300 points.
As you normally do, you oversimplify what I say. That's not what I was saying. I'm the guy who said they're 4-0 and we're all complaining
I'm not oversimplifying what you're saying. He's getting back to the way it used to be.
Did they win Super Bowls when they were the run-and-gun team?
Yeah, when
Did
when,
they win Super Bowls?
When they had a great defense, they won the Super Bowl. And if this defense continues to play the way it's played in the first month, they have a chance to win a playoff game. No question about it.
I mean,
wait, that really changed from win the Super Bowl to win a playoff game.
A game. A wild card round game.
Ironically, I don't see this offense being Super Bowl caliber right
that
now.
That sentence really faded off to where I expected it to go.
855-PATS-500.
Bengals would be happy to win a playoff game.
Certainly
webradio@patriots.com is where you email us.
Why are you pointing?
Three quarters of the like, they would be Cincinnati would be happy to have a team like we had.
Yes, to win a playoff
game.
Yes. We
all sit around and kvetch about.
Although some people believed Cincinnati's very talented. Some people might believe that if you gave them Bill Belichick, that team would be kicking ass and taking names.
And if that team had Tom Brady, I believe they'd be running the table.
We've heard from Rob from Ottawa in Spain.
Have we heard from somebody in Spain?
He's emailed us again, and he gave us the update on what's going on there. He said, about the phone service, guys, I use Wi-Fi. Every bar and hotel here has free Wi-Fi. You don't need to use the phone system. Right now, I'm sitting in a plaza bar, knocking back a few, listening to the show. Go Pats.
That's nice. We were supposed to get a Skype account. Fred was going to get us, so people could call via Skype from around the world.
But maybe that will happen.
I don't think that has happened yet. It's not on my little sheet here.
You don't have a Skype toll-free
number? Skype number is?
I don't know. I don't really know how Skype works. I've never Skyped in my life.
Really?
Have you?
Yes.
Really?
Did you ever notice every TV show now has that? Everybody Skypes.
Well, I think
TV.
It's a cheap way to do the feed because it looks cheap. It looks crappy. It's never like perfect. It's always a little choppy or something happens. But I think it's a cheap way to connect.
Let's go back to
a lot of hand signals going back.
Poll center. See what's going on in the poll center. Darren Hartwell, what's up, Darren?
All right, we got a little more of a big picture poll.
Okay, I like
for this game. What is the most important key to the Patriots' success today? The pass game, the run game, and the pass defense, or the run defense?
Passing game. Offensive passing game.
Passing defense.
Passing defense.
Aquibish Talibish.
Passing defense.
All right,
Fat
right
Tony,
now,
what do you got? Let's go. Get off the
special
fence.
Teams.
Special teams. There it is.
That's cute. That's cute. The way you think that means something.
Pass defense is at 58% right now.
That one kickoff return per game.
pass
game. Defense is number one.
Yep. Pass defense is number one. 58.
Social elite room.
Why?
Is it the pregame?
Why
is
this
the pregame social elite room, Paul?
Why,
are you part of the elite
why
group?
Why are you talking like a little kid?
Because
what's the matter?
Oh, the Everett's coming out.
What happened?
Okay, you got to leave here at some
what
point.
What happened
Paul?
To his little
He goes, it's cute. He said, it's you guys missed it. He said, it's cute that you think that
means
really
something.
A point.
Yeah.
There's an email here that I want to read that will lead us into our Sunday six pack. Comes from Bill. Bill writes in, Mark, Andy, Paul.
Why are you jerks still talking about my team?
Non-Patriots question, but it gets bank to them. If the Jets beat the Falcons Monday
back
night.
Back to them?
Yeah, I think it means back to them. It relates back to them.
Did you say the Jets beat the Falcons?
It says bank, though. It's a misspelling.
You could clean it up for them and just fix it. You know those emails where they take away every other letter and you can still read it?
Check.
If it says, if the Jets beat the Falcons on Monday night, does it change how you think of the Falcons game? How quickly would Fred add that you have to rethink the Jets game, too? And would Eric bring up rethinking the Jets without being prodded? Bill Berry.
Fred would definitely bring up the Jets aspect of that. I don't know how quickly people will bring up the Falcons aspect of it. You know, people like me think the league blows, so that happens. You have good teams, bad teams, winning, losing, all crap.
Now, if the Falcons just stink and they go like 4-12, then maybe I'll rethink it. But right now, to me, I don't care what happens to the Falcons this week or next week. That was still a good win to me. They still went on the road when the season was still in question, and that Atlanta really needed a win. Now, if it all unravels on them and they just have one of those years where they're banged up and they're missing all their players and they find ways to lose close games, which it seems like the start of the season, that's the way it's been going for them, then maybe they're disappointed. But when the Patriots beat them, to me, it was a good win. When and how they won the game, to me, would remain the same.
That was the run-up, too, right? Like, Atlanta was the team.
Atlanta needed the win.
Right.
They, you know, their season was sort of unraveling early. They needed it. They were the more desperate team at home. To me, all those things stay the same. They're still valid, even if they end up being a terrible team in the long run.
Well, speaking of games outside of the Patriots game today against the Bengals, it's time to get to the Sunday six-pack.
Nothing like cracking open a six-pack. Andy, Paul, and Mark pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for the Sunday six-pack.
It's time for the Sunday six-pack where we start picking some games outside of the one we've been talking about all day. Let's get to some of those games. What do we got, Kevin Collins?
We got the standings update, first of all.
Okay.
Paul still in first, 11-9 on the season. Mark moved up to second, 8-12.
Yeah.
Andy coming in last, 7-13. I'm right on your heels.
I told you I'd pick up a game on you, Andy.
So, first game we got Denver at Dallas. Denver by 7.5.
Denver at Dallas by 7.5. Who's going first?
I'll go first. I'll take Denver to win and cover. They're rolling, and I don't think Dallas is going to knock them off stride.
I can't stand the Cowboys. I'm going with Denver.
I don't like that half point, but I will go with Denver also. I just think they have it rolling offensively. But it's the kind of game Dallas, you know. They're a talented team, and these are the kinds of games when they tease their fans into thinking they're good.
Second game, Detroit at Green Bay. Green Bay by 9.5.
I am going to take Green Bay to win and cover. The Calvin Johnson injury is what puts me over the cover top there.
Yeah, I love Green Bay in this game big.
I'm going to take Green Bay.
I'm
going to take Green Bay.
Game three, New Orleans at Chicago. New Orleans by 1.5.
I'll take New Orleans
Saints.
To win and cover.
Saints.
I was talking.
Saints.
I'll take Chicago at home.
Oh, going against the grain.
Either we're closing the gap here or it's over.
Yeah. Either way, the gap is changing.
Yeah. All right, next game up, the Jets at Atlanta. Atlanta by 10.
Oh, that's a lot of points.
Falcons, big.
I'm going to take the Falcons, win and cover.
This is at Atlanta. Give me the Jets. Give me
I
the Jets.
I am passing Mark this week.
Fourth game, Baltimore at Miami. Miami by 2.5.
Tough one to call.
That's a tough one.
I am going to take the Ravens on the road. I don't think they're as bad as they've played over the first month offensively. They need some receivers back, and I guess Jacoby Jones is not going to play again. but I'm going to take the Ravens.
I'm going to take the Dolphins.
The Dolphins. I'm going to take the Ravens. They haven't played great to start this season, and they've screwed me already, but I think they're the better team.
Last game, New England at Cincinnati. New England by 1.
I'm taking the Patriots.
I'm taking the Patriots as well.
New England by 1? Where'd you get that?
Just pulled it up.
The latest line.
That's like a 3-point swing, like in 24 hours. I will take the Patriots to win by 1, huh? Okay, yeah, I'll take them to win the game. I'll take them to cover. It's going to be a close game, though. 23-21, Pat Rotz.
So that's the under right there. I like the under in this game. I like a low-scoring, close game today.
I do, too.
That's what I like.
Some turnovers. Neither team might maximize those turnovers.
Are all three of you Patriots?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
It's
yep.
unanimous.
We are a homer-driven station.
Yeah. Yep.
We're the PFW elite.
That's right. 855.
Fat Tony.
Pats 500.
We don't need your six-pack, but can you chime in with your thoughts on just the Patriots game today? Because you made me feel less confident when I asked you earlier off-air, and you said, I think they got a chance to win. You can just step to the microphone, please. Turn it on.
So you asking me if I think the Patriots are going
to
win?
Are they going to win today, sir?
They can.
You are such a...
They can.
Meow.
All right. Wow.
They can win every week.
All right.
It's
yes,
Bill Belichick. It's Tom Brady. They can win literally every week except when they play Denver.
Well, honest to God, I think this might be a little bit of a letdown game for them. A little bit, because the big play up was in Atlanta. They were going to a hostile environment. They're going out to a hostile environment
yeah.
now, but
against a team. By the way, you could be competing for a number two seed, a number. Well, you know, there could be playoff ramifications down the road for this game.
That's my point. I think there might be a little letdown. They might be going to
use. How can you have letdown if there's going to be playoff ramifications?
But I think what's going to happen is they're going to use they may use the Vince Wilfork loss as an excuse. In the long run.
That's not good for this team. If A, it's a letdown, and B, it's an excuse. I don't like it.
Okay.
You're not feeling very confident,
I can tell. That's why they make chocolate and vanilla ice cream. We can disagree.
Yeah, but I look at you as a well-informed Patriots fan.
Oh, don't say that.
And if you are accurate, I don't think that's good for this football team to go out there and have a letdown game and lose to the Bengals this week. I think that's a bad sign long-term.
I don't think it really is. I don't think it's long. They have to acclimate. They have a bunch of new guys who they're trying to acclimate. You said yourself that they haven't played without Vince Wilfork in a long time. You know how Bill feels about him. You know how Tom feels about him. The defensive line and the defense, the secondary plays much better because of the gap coverage and the fact that he's there.
What about next man up, the old Patriot way?
I don't put too much strength in the.
Wow.
No, and this is what you people who are listening to me are going to go. He's not a Yahoo. Like he's not, everything is gonna be great.
Everything's gonna be all right.
Yeah, exactly. And it may not be just for one game.
Yeah. You and Fred Kirsch. The two guys I turned to for homers this week, Fred Kirsch, my boss, picked the Bengals, and Fat Tony.
They're going to kill me when I go
feels
back
like
to
he's
the Commonwealth
picking the Bengals
today. Yeah, they're going to kill me when they hear this.
The head of the, what's the Water Buffalo?
Water Buffalo Tailgating Club.
Water
I'm the
Buffalo.
Fred Flintstone of the Water Buffalo Tailgating
and
Club.
And you are picking the Bengals, essentially. I know you don't have the stones to actually pick them, wow. But you're kind of picking
Fred
them.
Did.
Well, yeah, Kirsch did. He runs the thing. He can do that. I can't. I want to come back again.
Okay. We'll have you back, even though you're being a little...
Ish.
Don't listen to him. Don't. It's time to go inside the press box. We head down to Cincinnati. Let's talk to Eric Scott.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
Eric Scalavino joining us from Cincinnati inside the press box. Eric, let me ask you a question. This is not football related, but we had an emailer who said, ask Eric about the Camino in northern Spain, something about walking across northern Spain, and ask Eric about the Camino. Do you have any idea what that guy's talking about?
I absolutely do. It's the Camino de Santiago, which ends at Santiago de Compostela. It's a 500-mile, well, if you do the whole thing, it's a 500-mile walk across northern Spain through the mountains. It's a pilgrimage. It's a spiritual pilgrimage for the most devout followers of Catholicism.
Oh, well, one of our listeners is in the midst of it and listening to us, so I don't know what that says.
that says he's a devout follower of the Patriots and his religion.
That's a strange mix, but, you know, we're happy to have him. We'll take all comers. Eric, we know this is an exciting time for you because, indeed, we have a game today in which the weather could be a factor, and your shtick lately has been to tell us about the weather. So, tell us about the weather.
Well, it started off really downpouring, and it has since tapered off. It's still very cloudy, gray, some light drizzle here and there, but it should be a factor throughout the game. It could pick up later. Hopefully, the thunderstorms and lightning that we experienced overnight will hold off at least during the 1 through 4 o'clock hours, so that the game isn't directly impacted as far as delays are concerned. But I think wetness will be part of the game for the entire afternoon.
I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but if I were you and I were hoping for the lightning to hold off, I'd hope that window to stretch out until your plane took off and you got the hell out of there.
Very good point.
I ain't waiting.
Right.
In terms of the weather, have you noticed a slippery turf? Because obviously the first jump that everybody's making is Danny Amendola's back and the turf is wet and he's got a torn groin muscle. That doesn't sound like a good recipe.
You wouldn't think so, but from watching him in warm-ups, it didn't seem to bother him or any of the other players at all as they were warming up. Amendola actually was really pretty good running around. He does still have a little bit of a noticeable hitch in his stride, but other than that, he looks pretty good. Footing was not an issue. Kickers and punters have no problem. Booting the ball, the returners, the other receivers have no problem planting for the most part. So the turf, maybe a little bit soggy, but it hasn't really been impacting their footing.
You seen Leon Washington back there returning some kicks, I hope?
Yes, sir. Yes, he was the first one to get the reps and kickoff returns, and hopefully this is the week that we see him back there in his primary role as kick returner, because they could really use a boost there. And based on what I saw today, I think that might be possible.
On the other side of the football, obviously, I've seen some tweets that Joe Villano in there with the defense up front. Any idea? I mean, I know Spikes was out there. Any idea if we're going to see just more traditional base sets this week, and maybe Spikes is sort of asked to carry some of that run stuffing load, and maybe what we see if Spikes isn't in the game, and how that sort of all unfolds in the middle of the defense?
Well, I think we might see more base, because I would imagine the Bengals' game plan is going to be to try to test that middle, which is a little bit weak now with the loss of Vince Wilfork. So I think it might just be dictated by what the Bengals are doing offensively. We might have to just see more base, at least initially. But they're so thin, numbers-wise, at that deep tackle position, that I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if New England gets a little bit of a lead and the Bengals are forced to throw the ball maybe earlier, if we don't see more of those three defensive end sets that have become popular this year with Matt Patricia sliding Chandler Jones over to right defensive tackle and having two defensive ends. Usually it's Nikovich and
the rookie Michael Buchanan. I would think we'll see more of that today, maybe than we did last week against Atlanta. Yeah, I think you're right. To start, at least, maybe we'll see more of the base than we have in these first 4 weeks.
And we touched on Amendola, but people sort of lose touch with the fact that both rookies were on the injury report this week. Anything noticeable about either Dobson or Kenbrell Tompkins as they warm up for this game and get ready in the wet conditions?
No, and that's good news for them both and for the team. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary with either one of them. And that was the case during practice all week, too. They didn't seem to be hindered by either of their injuries, the shoulder for Tompkins and the neck for Dobson. Both of them look pretty good. Natural, nothing to speak of.
So, Eric, what'd you do last night?
I had a boring night. I just kind of stayed in. It was really rainy. We're staying about 20 minutes outside of town, and just didn't really feel up to going out. So I just kind of stayed in and watched the MLB playoffs.
Room service, or did you have dinner at the hotel?
Yeah. No, wait, I ate pretty well on the plane, so I kind of chilled and got an early night. So I got an hour worth of swimming in this morning, so I was very happy.
Oh, did you see Scar down at the pool?
I saw him in the workout room. He wasn't swimming. He decided to do the treadmill today, which is a little different for him.
All right, well, enjoy the game, and hopefully there's no lightning when you need to take off.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see you tonight on schedule.
Okay.
All right, Eric, thanks.
Take care, guys.
Eric Scalavino joining us from inside the press box.
Scar is Dante Scarnecchia, the team's
out.
Offensive line coach.
I
he and Eric often get an early morning swim in together in the pool.
Do they really?
Yes.
They're both swimmers.
Yes.
That's interesting.
There's no joke here, just so you know.
It's with you. I mean, everything seems like a joke. So
no.
You just gotta.
What's that barbecue place we go to in Cincinnati? It's good.
Cottage Inn?
It's one of the better places that we go to. On
yeah,
the
it was very good.
I would not have passed that up if I were Eric.
I don't know. I'm kind of a wuss. If it was wet and. Yeah, I don't like to get wet.
Doesn't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
Does not want to deal with that. Let's go back to the phones. John is in L.A., and he's up next on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. What are we thinking about Brandon Bolden today?
I think he is going to be an active part of this offense, assuming that the knee is okay. I think this could be a game where you see some draws, some screens, try to take advantage of that aggressive defensive front there from Cincinnati. He's the passing back, and we've seen him have a significant role at times early in the year here, and not knowing how all the other aspects of the injuries and the offense and the passing situation comes together, I think Brandon Bolden's a solid choice to put up some yards in both the run and the pass today.
Cool. I just want to say to Patriots Nation out there, first of all, we are winning this game by more than 10, and we're putting 30 on the board at least.
See? Now, that's confidence. And, that's
yeah,
the opposite of Fat Tony.
Yeah, have some confidence.
All right,
I don't
John,
agree with it.
Thanks. But, thanks for the call.
You're dead wrong.
Oh, no, I think the Patriots are going to win. I just don't think it's going to be a blowout.
But you have the appreciation for the confidence in the pick.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if you can't get like that and you're, you know, one of the PFW in progress and pregame social listeners, you know, where can I go to get that? Where can I find that if I can't find it here? You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
I need that. I need to fix.
All right.
God bless you over there.
Very good.
The poll center's a little under the weather.
Let's go to some of the pregame chat questions that are coming in for both Andy and Paul.
Scrap with his Florida State pullover on over there after the 63-0 beatdown.
What the hell's a pregame chat question?
The pregame chat, which takes place on the Patriots Facebook page.
Oh, I didn't know anything about
that. Is that part of the elite?
That's part of my duties over here at the poll center.
Oh. So it's the
moderator.
Poll and pregame
You moderate the chat?
Oh, yeah.
What does that entail?
You can get to the chat.
Keeping the MFs out?
A lot of moderation.
Facebook.com/New England Patriots. That's where the pregame chat and the polls are located. The Fox in New Mexico writes in, do you think we'll continue to see Jamie Collins experimented with in coverage against tight ends?
I think that's what Bill Belichick looks at him as right now, is a guy that can help out in coverage as a linebacker. I think that he has competed in that area, but he hasn't exactly excelled. Now, I don't want to beat up on the kid, you know, playing four games and, you know, saying, well, geez, he couldn't handle Tony Gonzalez last week, and that's the end of him. No, I think that he's been competitive in that area. He's certainly got the kind of athleticism that you'd need. I've been a little disappointed because they haven't allowed him to sort of try to work in as a niche as a pass rusher. That's what I kind of wanted to see when they drafted him, is an athlete that you can line up on the edge in sub packages and say, hey, go get the quarterback and see if he can help us out that way. They've decided to use him as sort of the guy who replaces Spikes, and be more of a coverage linebacker. But that's the way he's been used all four games, wouldn't you think, Andy?
Yes.
More as a coverage guy than anything else.
And with a pair of tight ends today, I think he could fit in that area.
Two athletic guys, too, in Gresham and Eifert.
I think it's going to be interesting how they deal with that today in terms of being in base defense, two tight ends, but two tight ends who are big parts of that passing game. They are the secondary receivers. You know, Dalton is in love with A.J. Green. I think he throws more than one in every three passes to A.J. Green. High percentage there. Mm-hmm. But after that, it's the tight ends, and you're going to have to deal with that. And the linebackers, the safeties, the middle of the field, there's going to be a lot of focus there today.
Here's a fantasy question for Andy or Paul.
For Paul.
I have Russell Wilson and Michael Vick as my quarterbacks. Who should I bench in fantasy?
Go ahead, Paul. Yeah, Mr. Fandangle over here. Why don't you do it?
I would go with who would I bench? I would bench Russell Wilson.
That's who you should bench. If this is fantasy related, you should bench Russell Wilson.
Wow.
Why?
Because Vick will be a better fantasy option. Vick will have more fantasy points.
Who's Vick playing?
Giants.
Giving up the most points in the NFL this year.
So you would play Michael Vick. So you've got a few minutes to make that change in your lineup. So go ahead and do that.
Very exciting.
Brian has a question that is, these past 2 weeks, they released, then signed, then released Marquise Cole. Why do you think the reason is that this keeps happening?
Because he's hurt. He's not going to play. So Bill Belichick and he are doing a nice little business arrangement where he's getting game checks, and then they're cutting him. He's staying around. They have a roster spot to activate somebody who can be healthy for the game, and then Marquise Cole will be back, and it's just a little game that coaches in the NFL play sometimes. Who was the freaking quarterback with the Saints last year or the year before?
Cantwell.
Did this every week because they
Canfield.
Wanted him.
Canfield.
So, I mean, you basically, if you have an agreement with the guy that he's not going anywhere and you want him back and he gets a game check, it works out for everybody.
Cantwell was my seventh grade English teacher. Canfield, I believe it is.
Okay, good story.
I'm a little... The latest one, the first one with, you know, Cole and Davis, I got. You bring them back so you can pay them?
Yeah.
I'd be happy with that.
If you're who?
If I were Robert Kraft.
Well, it's in the best long-term interest of the team to have Marquise Cole as a special teamer for this team. But right now, we need roster spots. I think you can easily sell it as there's nothing really bad for the franchise here. A couple game checks.
But what's the difference if he just... waited till he was healthy, and then you resigned him.
Well, you have an agreement with him that he's not going anywhere. I don't know if that's legal, so I'm saying theoretically you could have an agreement with him. It just popped into my head when they claimed Jake Ballard and Bill went on. I'm sure they didn't have an agreement for a contract. They would never do anything like that.
Right. I'm with the emailer. Don't get it.
Well, do business is being done, and I don't think it's really all that uncommon.
Nathan is driving home from Vegas with his family and texting while driving. While listening to PPGS, don't do that. Do not text and drive.
Yeah, especially you're with your family.
What are you doing?
Unless you're in like the back seat, then that's okay.
But Nathan wants to know, are you worried at all about the Bengals tight ends today?
Yes, I think that is a concern in the offense. We've seen often enough that the Patriots are going to take away A.J. Green. I got to think that's the game plan. Don't let A.J. Green beat us. So with Tlaib and everything, I think we have confidence they're probably going to be able to limit the damage for A.J. Green. But can they limit the damage of two tight ends in the middle of the field? They haven't proven the ability to do that.
And you also have to me, be able to take away the lesser guys, the Sanus and Marvin Jones. You can't let those guys, you can't let a guy like Marvin Jones catch five passes for 60 yards today. You know, modest numbers, yes, but you can't allow Dalton to find an alternative than one of his big guns. If the big guns beat you, that's because they're good. You can't let one of the lesser lights beat you.
I gave Tony a hard time. Do you feel the letdown in this game or whatever? He was kind of
I think there's
projecting.
A chance. Yeah. I think that was a big game for them last week.
Well,
I think this could be a big game, literally.
Well,
it's a much more important game.
Yeah.
But I think they treated last week as such.
Yeah, I don't care for that then. This is a big game in the AFC.
Well, I'm not excusing them if they do have a letdown. I'm not saying, oh, well, they should have a letdown. I'm not excusing it.
You're kind of expecting it.
No, I'm not. I picked them to win.
Oh, then what are you talking about?
I think there's a chance that they were fat and happy after a big win last week.
Stop arguing. We're going to end this email. We're going to end the show right here with an email rant from
Christian. Don't you tell me when I stop arguing.
Been saving this one. We're on a schedule here, Paul.
This Chris with a TIAN.
Since we're not taking all the breaks at the proper times anymore, we just now we're on a schedule.
Christian is in Boston, and he writes, just wanted to know if Andy has changed his season prediction of us losing six games or even seven this season, seeing as we have started 4-0 and probably will be 5-0 at the end of today.
Probably?
I would also like to give props to Paul for being the voice of reason and giving the winningest head coach quarterback combo in the Super Bowl era the benefit of the doubt when making his prediction for us to go 12-4. I personally thought we'd finish 11-5 or 12-4. 9-7 was the worst case scenario for this team with Brady and Belichick at the helm. Speaking of mediocrity, when it comes to football, do you guys think Eric Negativino will finally admit he was wrong yet again in his evaluation of the team and change his season prediction of 9-7? I mean, I realize he wants to be objective, but should have a reason to expect good things on the Pats every season, because what happens every season? Being a pessimist contrarian does not make you objective. You don't have to be sunshine.com when it comes to evaluating the Pats.
But
you should at least give them the benefit of the doubt more times than not. End rant. Peace and love.
That's what Paul does. He picked them to go 12-4 because, you know, it just always seems to work out for Belichick and Brady.
It's not the only reason that I picked them to go 12-4. No, I looked at the games that I thought were difficult, and I said they'll probably win a few of them and lose a few of them. Eric said every game that was difficult on the schedule, they were going to lose. That's what Eric said. Now, in Eric's defense, I wouldn't depart from my 9-7 pick yet. They've won one game that, quote unquote, people didn't expect them to.
True.
They're one game behind his 9-7.
Correct.
So I wouldn't just pull the plug and say, oh, geez, I had that wrong.
And super fans like Fat Tony and Fred Kirsch are picking the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at games like Atlanta, New Orleans, and Cincinnati, these three games. Eric said they're going to lose all three. I said there's no way they'll lose all three. And that's the only difference between what he picked and what
two,
I picked.
They can easily end up 9-7.
That's what I'm saying.
Six.
His 9-7 theory is not out of, you know, like, because they're 4-0.
Next
they
week
won
is
three
certainly a concern.
The first three games they won that a high school team would have won. Sorry.
Wow.
Well, thanks
bet your Tufts wouldn't have.
Thanks for joining us.
Not a high school team.
On the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Very disappointed in our Spanish listeners.
Dios mío!
Didn't even make it on from Spain.
Muy mal.
Join us after the game. We'll be right back here in the same spot on Patriots.com as we break down today's Patriots-Bengals matchup. Join us then. Enjoy the game. I got my scars. I've been to
hell and back again. This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Patriots square off with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore, and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune in to Patriots.com radio for the Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand immediately following the game.
28 seconds remaining. Empty backfield. Three receivers near side right. Pass lead by six. Snap to Fitzpatrick looking over the middle. Fires to the right. Intercepted in the end zone. Intercepted by Devin McCourty.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.